Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Today's message is stewarding God's mercy. Stewarding God's mercy. God calls us to be faithful, and God is faithful to help us be faithful. I encourage you to take your outlines out with you this morning. As we go to the Lord in prayer here, and we commit our hearts to Him, are you willing to do whatever God says to you this morning? Let's take our hearts before the Lord today, right now, and commit ourselves to Him. Heavenly Father, we are privileged, Lord, as we consider Your mercy and the effect that it should have on our lives, as we consider who You are, what You have done for us, as we consider, as been prayed a few times this morning with regards to the freedoms that we have to worship You, what a blessing it is, what a privilege it is that we get to be here, Lord. We get to be in Your house. We get to open Your Word because You have preserved Your Word. We get to sit under the ministry of the Holy Spirit as He opens the eyes of our understanding to help us understand these truths, Lord. We get to be here. We get to be a part of Your family. What a privilege, Lord, it is. Heavenly Father, thank You for each one that is here this morning. Each of us come in this morning with life on our shoulders. We come here today, some bearing great burdens, others seemingly to be doing well, some showing it well, others not. Lord, You know each and every heart. You know the pains of every soul. You know the joys and sorrows. You know the mountains and valleys that are represented here this morning. Oh Lord, You know all things. Lord, would You help us today to be still before You? Would You help us today to quiet ourselves before You so we can listen? As we lift our heart up to You, Lord, we ask that You would help us. Would You open the eyes of our understanding? We need Your help to do that. Because we want to see the precious truths from Your Word. Touch our hearts in such a special way. Bring change, Lord, as only You can. Oh God, we truly need Your help. I thank You for what You will do. Lord, may we worship You in how we listen. Help me to worship You in how I proclaim Your truth. Please speak through me. May, Lord, You be honored and glorified as we worship You in our obedience of putting things into practice, doing what You say. Thank You, Lord, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stewarding God's mercy. You may be wondering, didn't we just do a message coming up to Christmas called Stewarding God's Merciful Gift? Why are we doing another one on God's mercy? Well, I think we could do probably 1,001 messages on God's mercy and still have more to do. But we're attacking this from a different perspective, and that's the key word is perspective. The focus here is our perspective. As you see the middle of page 1, what is our premise? The premise that we're looking at here this morning is that it deals with our perspective. The perspective we maintain as we go through life is of utmost importance. Attitude leads to action. Right thinking leads to right living. In order to live right, we must think right. In order to live godly, we must think godly. Our success in our pursuit of holiness is dependent upon a mind renewed with God's truths. Our success in our pursuit of happiness is dependent upon a mind renewed with God's truths. That's important, isn't it? If you want to be successful in the Christian life, you cannot be successful without having your mind renewed daily with the Word of God. It just doesn't work. They go hand in hand. Biblical success and a renewing of the mind are synonymous with each other. It isn't enough to simply read your Bible in the morning and go your way, though. Like, wait a second. I don't know where you're going with this, but this doesn't quite sound right. You always tell us we're supposed to do our morning devotions, right? Always challenge us with that. So now, you're saying that's not enough? What more do I have to do? A renewed mind is one that meditates upon the truths of God as they walk through their day. They meditate upon God's mercy. Our walk through the day is to be a dependent walk. Walking in the Spirit. How often do you do your devotions and you spend just a quality time with the Lord and you walk away and you basically forget what you read? You leave your devotions there instead of meditating on them through the day. And see, this takes work. It takes deliberateness. It takes intentionality. You don't just fall into meditation upon God's Word. We fall into meditating upon other things called worry. But we don't fall into meditation upon God's Word. It just doesn't work that way. We have to be intentional about it. Remember, we need to be remembering God's kindness and His merciful acts as you do this, it will change your response to others. I want to get personal here. This has been a great struggle for me. I have found this to be incredibly challenging. I'm finding that I'm not practicing what I preach at times. Too often my children have stated, "Daddy used to be fun." Often my attitude has not been one of joy as I walk through this trial that God has ultimately blessed me with. And I say blessed me with because right now I'm in a time where I can say, you know, I have the right perspective. I can say it is a blessing. But there's a lot of times where I'm not saying that this is a blessing. My lack of joy has been brought to my attention by my loving wife, and the Lord has brought me under great conviction as I go through His Word. I'm challenged to understand, how is it that I go to the Word, dig into the Word, and within, at times, moments after stepping away from God's Word, I find my ears getting hot and find myself irritable with my family. It's not my family's problem. It's my heart problem. The beauty of it is that God in His faithfulness has, He's been using this trial to hammer away these areas of sin in my life. These hardened areas. These areas that I've overlooked and taken for granted. So the question that it has brought me to is this: why is it that I have so often enjoyed precious time with God, devotional time with God, and only to shortly thereafter find myself at times snapping at my kids, finding myself in a bad mood? Why is it? It's easy for us to justify, well, health plays a big role in our moodiness, doesn't it? Well, it does. It does. But is it a good justification? Does God say, here it is, you're going to go through this, and oh, by the way, it's okay for you to have moments of irritability and moodiness where you're sinning? Is that how God looks at it? Does God allow you to go through trial and say, oh, by the way, you have 150,000 mulligans in this trial, so go ahead, start knocking them off as you go through. And it's okay to sin here and here and here and here because the pain is so bad, because the whatever it is, because you've got your lack of sleep, whatever it is it justifiable for us as Christians? Many may give justification for this kind of action based upon the health circumstances, right? Oh, Pastor, I know I'm going through a rough time with different things, but I get it. I get it too. But I get it doesn't make it right, does it? It's not just cause for sin. It's not just cause for irritable behavior. It's not just cause for moodiness and whatever else comes along the pike. It's not just cause for selfishness. So what's the problem? Some of you may be thinking, Pastor, I didn't think you have any problems. Oh, you hang around me enough, you'll find I am a problem. So how can I spend quality time with God and then moments later be justifying sin? It's a simple answer. Simple answer speaks to my perspective. What is your perspective? What am I doing? What happens when I enjoy those times with God and I walk away and I justify sin? What is happening? What is happening when you do that? Well, for me, I'm failing to take the stabilizing truths of God's Word with me as I step into the day. I'm failing to intentionally be dependent upon God with every moment, walking in the Spirit, maintaining a right perspective, drawn from a heart of gratefulness for all that God has done. I'm failing to dwell upon the mercies of God. I'm often failing to steward the mercies of God. Why is it that I've been defeated frequently through my trial? Because I'm failing to steward the mercies of God. Consider with me as we look here and we consider Roman numeral 1 on page 1 there, the reality of self and how I think. The reality of self and how I think. What do we see here? Well, if you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23, middle of your Bible, should be Psalms. Go to the right one book is Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23. I'd like you to read it with me out loud. Yes, we're doing that again today. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. I'm going to read the first half of the verse. Are we there? Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Please read with me first half of the verse. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Rand Hummel just recently spoke at the at Tri-State Bible Camp for one of the teen camp there. He stated these words. Love how he puts it. I think it's in your notes there. Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, he also knew that altogether we are not what we think we are. We are what we think. You see the difference? We are not what we think we are, but we are what we think. We are not what we think we are because we deceive ourselves into thinking something better of ourselves than what we are. But the way we think is truly who we are. Make sense? For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. The Bible has a way of cutting right to the heart of the matter, doesn't it? That's pun intended. This word heart literally speaks of life. It's used to speak of living, breathing creatures. Figuratively, though, it's used to speak of the inner self. It's the context of our heart is the core of who we are. God knows the truth about who we are, and it is evident as He looks upon our hearts. We can deceive others by our outward appearance, can we not? But God is never deceived. He looks upon the heart. Remember when He was looking for His next king? When He was looking for the one, when He went to Jesse's sons, and He was looking for the next king of Israel. And it was not how the outward appearance looked. Because frankly, David wasn't even part of the sons that were on display because there's no way he could be the one that God would ever want to be king. And oh yes, he was. Because he had the right kind of heart. Our hearts must be bent towards God and in turn our mouths will follow. Our hearts must be bent towards God. And in turn, our mouths will follow. Why do I say that? Often we can be hypocritical in what we with our mouths as we praise God, yet our hearts are far from Him. Often you can come to church and you can sing praises to God, how great Thou art. And meanwhile, inside there's bitterness raging. But I look good on the outside. Sooner or later, the truth will be known to all. Sooner or later we mess up. Sooner or later it comes out. Specifically, as the trials of life enter, the heart is revealed. For me, the heart has been revealed in my desiring control and not always things going my way. It can create anger as a response. It can create anxiety as a response. It's a selfishness that I want what I want, and when I don't get it, as an adult, we throw a temper tantrum in our own way. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, Jesus says to the Pharisees, He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? What does He say? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I go back to the fact that our hearts must be bent towards God, and in turn, our mouths will follow. See, when our hearts are not bent towards God, our mouths will follow. When our hearts are bent towards God, our mouths will follow. The heart is our thought process and motives, the core of who we are. Our heart makes up who we are. It defines each of us. It's our deep inner thoughts. It's imperative that the greatest influence upon our hearts are godly influence. What do we talk about? The three best influences for the Christian. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God. They are vital. Vital for us that we are coming under those influences as often as we possibly can. So that our hearts will be bent towards God and our mouths will follow. The reality that we discover when we step back and honestly look at how we live our lives and how we think about others can often seem pretty ugly. We see it in our anger. Question, what makes you mad? What really makes you mad? Are they godly things? What irritates you? Is it godly things? Are they things that people are not complying with God? Is it sin in others? Is it sin in your own life that makes you mad? Or is it simply, I am not getting my way, and therefore, I am mad. And I'm going to let you know about it because I want you to feel just as bad as I do. That's a bully, isn't it? A bully is one of the most saddened, depressed, sorrowful people in this world. They're upset. Life is not going the way they want it to. And they think the best way is to hurt somebody else. What do? We do that with our words when we get mad because we're irritated, we're irritable, and we say, this isn't going my way, and I want everybody else to feel just as miserable as I do. Challenge for us, isn't it? What makes you mad? What puts you in a bad mood? Often it simply comes down to not getting our own way. This is a prideful way. It's the way that God resists. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. It's the way that we should resist as well. We should resist the pride in our own lives. We should take arms up against the pride in our lives to bring it into submission. Yielding it, surrendering it to God, saying, Lord, forgive me, and humbling ourselves before Him. So consider with me that we see the reality of self in how we think. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Well, consider next with me the renewed service in how I think. Renewed service in how I think. Who are we serving when we are angry and irritable? We're serving somebody, are we? You are always serving somebody. Always. Much of the time, you're serving yourself. Much of the time, I'm serving me. So, we need to have a renewed kind of service based upon a renewed kind of thinking. Okay? Let's shift gears. Let's shift who I'm serving. Let's shift the object of my service as I renew my mind. Consider what it says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, we see these words. It's in your notes. For brethren, we have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Your liberty, don't use it for an occasion to your flesh, to please your flesh. What's the next? Read with me the next words. But by love serve who? One another. But by love serve one another. But by love, serve one another. That's what we are called to do. Don't serve yourself, serve God. Serve others in love. We are called to serve one another in loving service. Our mind must be renewed. It must be renovated and reshaped if we want this to take place. The renewal is a transformation that takes place when we change the way that we think. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Please follow along with me as I read. It says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Paul, writing to the saints at Corinth, he's saying, with regards to this beholding as in a glass, this open face is an unobstructed view. Beholding in a glass, that glass is a mirror, it's symbolic of the Word of God. With ultimately, as we behold, that beholding is this holy gaze. It's a meditation upon God and His Word. The open face, as I said, it's an unobstructed view because of the Holy Spirit's ministry of illumination. He gives us understanding. That's why when you go to the Word, you pray, "Lord, would you give me understanding? Would you help me to understand?" God employs the Holy Spirit to come and help you open your eyes, if you will, to give you understanding. Through the mirror of the Word, the Holy Spirit reveals the glory of God with His ministry. We are able to look upon the Son of God and be changed. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, takes the Word of God and helps to understand the Son of God so that we can be like the Son of God. It's the process. It speaks of being changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. Notice that we are changed into the same image. The same image as what you are looking upon. The same image that we are dwelling upon with a holy gaze. So God's Word tells us that as you gaze, as you spend time looking at God in His Word, as you spend much time with God, meditating upon God and who He is, God says you will be changed into that same image. If you're being tanned by the sun, right? You can tell the people who've been out in the sun, being burnt by the sun, being tanned by the sun, whatever you want. You know who's been outside, don't you? You know who's been in view of the sun. Don't you also know who's been in view of God the Son? Who spent time in the light of the sun? Don't you know? Aren't you blessed to be around those people who have spent much time in the light of the Son of God? Are you one of those ones who has spent much time in the light of the Son of God and therefore are a blessing to others? It's not a question for you to answer yourself. That's a question for you to take before God and say, "Lord, am I?" We all can spend more time with God. John Phillips writes, he says, "The moon looks into the face of the sun and reflects its brightness on the darkened world. Just so, we are to be occupied with the Lord Jesus and reflect His glory in the dark world of sin in which we live." The moon reflects the light of the sun. It's not its own light. We should be moons in a dark world. So consider as we move forward here, middle page 2, letter A, consider what we are to look upon and meditate upon. It's important when we consider the renewing of our mind in order to serve God. Because remember what it says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." It's talking about serving God. "Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's speaking of your worship, your service in worship of God. You tie it all together, and there needs to be an understanding, a remembering of the mercies of God. So as we look here, there's some things we need to consider and remember. Well, first, remember your pardon. Remember your pardon. These are the mercies of God. Remember your pardon. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Consider the mercies of God. What is mercy? Well, it is pity. It's a heart of compassion. I love the definition that it's deserved punishment withheld. You deserve to be punished, yet it's withheld from you. In light of Christ's compassion, in light of His compassionate work on our behalf, consider what Paul is calling for us to do. The cost to Christ was a great sacrifice, was it not? Ephesians chapter 2, turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 2, right before Philippians there. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, Paul writes, "And you hath He quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins." Wherein, so he talks about before, where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit thou now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, that is our lifestyle in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Paints a horrible, ugly, nasty picture. It's a vile picture. It's a wicked picture. Outside of Christ, that's who we were. What's the next word? What's the next two words? Insert God into the mix. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even as we were dead in sins, He has quickened us, He has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. What an awesome truth, is it not? Is there a greater truth in all the world? That you were once dead, vile, repugnant, ugly, wicked before God. But God, who is rich in mercy, you deserved hell, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The deserved punishment was death. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith His great love He loved us. The deserved punishment was death because of our sin. But because of Christ dying in our place, that mercy, that deserved punishment was withheld. Awesome truth, is it not? Our perspective needs to be based upon the mercies of God. Remember the mercies of God. Remember your pardon. What were you pardoned from? Don't live with dead amnesia. Don't forget about the debt that you owed your God. That He forgave it 100%. He forgave it. He forgave as you came to saving faith, as you placed your faith and trust in Christ alone, that His work was completed on your behalf. When you did that, your debt was paid in full. Lord willing, this Wednesday night, we're going to talk about Jesus saying, "It is finished. Tetelestai. It's paid in full." You want to come and hear a wonderful passage of Scripture and meditate upon that passage of Scripture of Jesus as He's on the cross, getting ready to die. He says, "It is finished. Tetelestai. It's paid in full. You wretched soul before God, I have paid your sin debt on your behalf. It is finished." Awesome reality. Don't forget the pardon that you've been forgiven. The sin, the great debt of sin that you owed. God said, I got this, is taken care of. That is the kind of God we serve. Now, understand this. As we go back to personalizing this, why is it that I open His Word, I enjoy spending time with God, and it's just such a blessing, because I'm being blessed and it's my way and I'm kind of in control of that situation, right? As I just yield myself to God and surrender, and I just love reading the Bible, and I get to just meditate, and as I read back through it, and it's like, oh wow, that's an awesome thing. It's like, Lord, this is just great. Let's keep on going. Do I have to leave my office? I got a new office now, and it's just exciting to be in that office, and it's for the most part it's quiet, and I can put my earbuds in, and I just, you know, it's like drown out the noise and just get in the Word. And just, yes, I love it. But you know what's not my way? When I got to get up out of my seat and open that door, take the earplugs out and set them aside and go and do my responsibilities as a husband and father. What do you mean these things can't be done by somebody else? The fact of the matter is, I'd be angry if somebody else was doing that. Do you see how irrational it can be? Yet I can get so mad at, why do I have to do this? How dare you come to me asking me to help you tie your shoe? You're only 2 years old. What do you mean you don't know how to do it? Pretty dumb, isn't it? We laugh about it, but it's outright repugnant to God. Shame on me. It's not my way. Perspective. If I would go through my day remembering the mercies of God, if I would go through my day, see, I end up living, the reason I end up snapping and getting irrational and getting irritated and everything, getting angry, is because I live with dead amnesia at times. Those moments where I'm getting mad, those moments where things are not going my way, those moments where my ears start to get hot and red, and it's like, oh, you bite my lip and tongue and whatever else I can bite so that I don't say something that I shouldn't say, but yet it's going on in my mind. I'm still in sin. What's the problem? Debt. Amnesia. I've forgotten how much I've been forgiven. I've forgotten that I am that little 2-year-old child that needs help tying their shoe. I am that child that needs help in the bathroom. I am that child that doesn't get it. For the millionth time, I've told you over and over and over again. And God says, John, I love you. And this is the millionth time I've told you the same thing. How dare you think that one of these little childs that I've given you the responsibility of, you can't be patient with them? Oh, Lord, I just can't do this. What's the problem? Dead amnesia. My perspective. I've forgotten my pardon. I've forgotten how much God has forgiven me of. I've forgotten that at times I fall back into that category where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. I don't go back to the point where I'm walking according to Him as far as Him being in control of me. The Spirit is now in control of me, and He's the one that's living in me. But I'm not walking in the Spirit, I'm walking by my flesh, I'm walking according to me, I'm walking the way that I used to walk, according to my flesh, and letting my flesh be the one to drive me, because I forget what I've been forgiven of. Am I the only one? is one of those messages. It feels really good today. I'm not coming back to this church ever again because this pastor, he's just laying it on my heart and I just don't like it. He knows me too well. So who's preaching next Sunday? Remember your pardon. Remember what you have been forgiven of. Remember how blessed you are. Remember in Matthew 18, if you haven't noticed, we're not finishing this message today. So I guess I got to come back and finish it next Sunday. Fine. Lord has a sense of humor, doesn't he? At my expense. I'm going to cry. Remember in Matthew 18, where Peter had approached Christ and he said, Lord, how often shall I forgive? Shall I forgive seven times? And in that day and age, seven times was really a good, it was actually going above and beyond what was taught. Like, so Peter was really, based on what was being taught, he was going above and beyond. He was doing pretty good. And Jesus said, no, what does he say? Till 70 times seven. Then he gives this parable, this wonderful parable, and we've gone through it before, but this challenging parable for us where we see this master, this king, he brought before himself his governors, his servants, to take accounting of a reckoning, an accounting of their service to him and the books are opened. And this servant comes to him and he owes him a 10,000 talent debt or 10,000 talents of a debt. It's an unpayable debt. In the Greek there, when they, in that day and age, when they used the number 10,000, that was like your biggest number you could have. You could ultimately say infinite. That's the degree of it. They didn't say 20,000. It was 10,000. Or you'll hear them saying 10,000 times 10,000. You don't get up to 100,000. You don't get up to, it's like 10,000. That was unpayable. And he comes and he begs his master, the king. He says, because the king said, you can't pay this. I'm going to throw you into jail and I'm going to sell you basically. And I'm going to try to get as much money back for you. And I'm probably not going to get hardly a couple hundred pence for it. I'm out on this. And he begs him for mercy. And what we did is we went through the process of looking at, let's picture it if you will, you have this courtyard and the king is setting up in a throne area, elevated area, and you see all the rest of the servants are out there watching what's going on, the reckoning of these servants as they're brought before the king, and this king comes before him and 10,000 talent debt is owed and he falls down and he begs for mercy. And it's irrational, the kind of mercy. He's saying, I'll pay you all. There is no way you could in 1,000 lifetimes pay off this debt. But he thinks in his mind, I can pay it. I'll pay it. I'll do whatever you want. Please just give me mercy. The king goes above and beyond mercy, doesn't he? The mercy that he was asking for. He forgives him all that debt. Wow. Beautiful. Powerful story of the mercy of God. Illustrating how he, in salvation, he pays off our debt, his mercy toward us. Our debt of sin was unpayable. How do you pay the debt of sin? How can you and I pay the debt of sin? For the wages of sin is death. What do you have after you die? If you paid for your death, if you paid for your sin, you die, what's there left? It's automatically hell for all of eternity. So it's really, you still can't even pay it. Even if you pay what you have, there's nothing left over and you're done. If you followed all that logic, you're doing pretty good. The fact of the matter is, to pay that debt means we're lost forever. To give God what He is owed. But when He takes our debt and He dies in our place and He grants us mercy, we've been forgiven of everything we owed because He paid our sin debt. The sad reality is that as no sooner had that servant paid or been a recipient of that payment, he walks out the door and he experiences debt amnesia, and he finds someone who owes him 100 pence. Now, a pence was a day's wage. Mathematicians, how many days' wages? How many days does it take to make 100 pence? 100 days. Okay, very good. What is that in comparison to 10,000 talent debt? What is it? Basically, it's this compared to this, right? It's nothing. It's a payable debt versus an unpayable debt. As we go through life and we forget what we've been forgiven of, we come out of being forgiven that great debt of sin and we grab that person by the throat, it says, and we say, pay me what you owe me. And it literally says that that man threw that guy into prison. He was operating on debt amnesia. He forgot what he was forgiven of. When I forget what I've been forgiven of, I'm not bringing God glory. When I forget my pardon, when I forget what I've been forgiven of, God is not glorified in my life. Remember your pardon. Remember the mercies of God. Psalm 103, I would challenge you to read that this week. Psalm 103. Please make every effort to read that. If you could read that once a day, every day, until you come back here next Sunday, oh, do it. Powerful, powerful psalm about the mercy of God. How much He loves to forgive. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He forgives all thy diseases, spiritual sickness. He forgives and He forgives. And He takes our sin and removes it as far as the east is from the west. Talks about how eternally wide the mercy of God is. It talks about how eternally high the mercy of God is. And there you see on Calvary's cross the horizontal dimension of mercy and the vertical dimension of mercy. It meets on Mount Calvary, the mercy of God as He took our sin debt upon Himself. Powerful, powerful truth. Remember your pardon. Remember your pardon. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank You for this time. Heavenly Father, clearly, my ways are not Your ways. Clearly, I have a lot of growing to do. Lord, You've been dealing in my heart, and I need help. Lord, I need to be changed. And I thank You that You're at work doing just that. Lord, so help me. Help me to surrender daily. Not just today, not just yesterday, not just the day before. But Lord, help me to surrender today, this next hour, the following hour, and the following hour. May I live in a state of continual surrender to You, remembering all that You have done for me. Lord, would You help keep it before my eyes? Would You help me understand that 10,000 talent debt that I owed You, that You forgave? Out of great mercy and love, You forgave me of all my sin. Would You help me to be a better father? Would You help me to be a better husband? Would You help me to learn to serve my family? Would You help me to learn to serve each one here today better? Would You help me to be a better servant, a slave, a bondslave, a doulos that is responsive totally to Your will? Help me to be faithful at being responsive to the needs of others as I set me aside, as I remember Your pardon. Oh God, You have been so good to me. I beseech You therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Help me, O Lord, to be a willing sacrifice who remembers Your mercy toward me. Thank You. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.